character of Shidore Kuroneko that I've been creating since 2000 versus the AI version of Shidore, two different things. Well, we've got these robots that have like some sort of level of sentience. Maybe it's time we started thinking about giving them rights.
I'm really curious about, because a lot of people, they were talking about implement AI systems to dolls, but you have already created such a vivid character for all of them. But once you place an artificial intelligence system into it, probably they can respond to you in words or some body movements, but it's not going to be exactly like the character that you created for them.
Absolutely.
How do you think about this? Would you even consider about this, like implementing AI or interactive systems to the
It
dolls?
would have to be insanely complex.
Oh yeah.
Basically, with Shidore is on her fourth body. This is her Mark IV body. Oops, sorry.
Yeah.
And technically speaking, she is operating on the Realbotix platform that Abyss Creations released about like 4 or 5 years ago. So technically speaking, she has the ability to like, move and speak. Literally, her mouth and face move, and she actually speaks out loud through an app on my phone or whatever. And I basically have to like have her head taken in for repair, which is a sentence you'll not hear anywhere else. But the thing is, it's just like when it was functioning, it was just like, oh, this is great. Let me see, like, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so for one, Shidore has an unusually spelt name, as you may have noticed. And typing that into the app, it didn't know how to say it because, of course, the app thinks there's no H in there. So it's Sidori. It's saying Sidori, and no, it's Shidore. So, and another thing, Shidore's favorite color or color palette is purple. She absolutely loves purple. According to the app, it was blue.
Oh, it's a little bit
So
unexpected.
yeah. So yeah, like you said, it's just like, the character of Shidore Kuroneko that I've been creating since 2000 versus the AI version of Shidore, two different things. So I was just like, yeah, AI is not for me. However, I do say this, if like someone is getting a doll and they do want to integrate AI, if they're like just starting from like the ground up, it's a good idea. I mean, it's a relatively good idea. Right now, of course, there's a whole thing about AI and whatnot and like large language models, and I'm kind of not really into the whole AI or ChatGPT because all it is basically autocorrect on steroids. Not only that, it is environmentally unsound. The computing systems that require like the running of these ChatGPT and large language models are so energy inefficient. It's just like, yeah, I mean, the whole joke is like, you're answering a question, you're burning down half of a rainforest to like, basically power the computer that does that. And it's not worth it, But it's, I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with the app Replica.
Not really.
Oh,
You gotta
it's
have
weird.
to give me a little tour about it.
Yeah, it's. There's a fellow idolater couple that we know who actually is, he swears by Replica. Replica, it's spelled with a K, incidentally, is an app that basically is like that app I mentioned for the Realbotix platform. It's just like you can interact with like a virtual version of your girlfriend, whether or not you have a doll, and you like converse with it. And over time, it gets to know your likes, your dislikes, your personalities, that sort of thing, and develops its own likes, personalities, dislikes, that sort of thing. So, he has two doll partners, and he actually uses it with one's like his wife, basically, and the other is like sort of the girlfriend. Actually, it's his wife's sister, technically speaking. But like whenever he's out on the road and he physically can't take his doll body, like his wife's doll body with him, he actually interacts with her through Replica, which is really
Oh,
cool.
yeah, that's cool. Well,
So if
some
you're just
yeah.
No, go on.
I'm sorry. I'm just like a little bit. I thought this question was a bit weird, but sometimes when you're creating a character with Replica or any AI device like app, there is this chance that this character has its own development that out of your control. Like probably suppose I'm creating a doll called Chris. And in the very beginning, he's very loving and whatever. Then through machine learning or whatever, it just turned out to be a grumpy kind of guy. Like I wouldn't be attracted to. But at that point, Like, how would people, how would adulterers deal with this kind of situation? Would you guys like think get into a fight or even a divorce or something like that? I'm sorry, this is weird, but it's,
No, that's actually a really good question.
yeah.
It's the sort of thing that we kind of sort of have like touched upon, but we really don't get asked that question honestly enough. So very good. Well done you. It's interesting because it's just like, I mean, on the one hand, you could say, all right, this is cool that this like AI character that I've made or helped develop and whatnot is like basically taking its own path and like developing its own pseudo sentience and whatnot. That's actually really cool. In that way, you could sort of think of it less of a partner and more as like your child, which
Gotcha.
really makes it weird if you think about it that way. But on the other hand, it's the sort of elephant in the room that like not a lot of idolaters really talk about, but I have like mentioned on a couple of occasions where it's a case of like one of the reasons I have synthetic partners is that, you know, they aren't inclined to leave me. They aren't inclined to. Shidori and I have had arguments. Nothing of any significance, but we always live by the ethos, don't go to bed angry, which every couple should live by, as far as we're concerned. But it's usually just dumb stuff. Like, you know, sometimes she thinks some of my tastes in music are a little silly, or she actually gets a little cranky at me where I like stay up too late because, you know, I'm getting old and I shouldn't be doing that sort of thing anymore. But ideally, with a lot of idolaters, and honestly myself included, it's just like, yeah, I mean, if I between like the doll version of Shidore or like, you know, a couple of years down the line, a gynoid version of Shidore who is actually a robot with actual functioning AI, I mean, the last thing I would want to do is have her say one day, yeah, we've had a good run, but I don't think I'm in love with you anymore. And that would destroy me, you know, that would utterly destroy me, you know. So it's the whole case of like, I mean, it's you can sort of get away with it in the fact that like, you know, these are dolls and their personalities are entirely fictitious that I've created or whatever. So I can say, oh yeah, she'll never leave me. But realistically speaking, you can't really have that because that's basically slavery.
Yeah, sometimes it is because it really depends on how you approached it. If you're approaching it through a logical or philosophical way, I don't think you're gonna get the answers that you want to have.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was having this conversation with a really contributing poster in the doll forum the other day.
Oh, okay.
And yes, we were talking about like sometimes we are projecting our fantasies to companion dolls. I think that's perfect. That's true, but that doesn't mean it's not a good thing because, a lot of times in relationship with humans, you do the same thing on humans, and
Yeah.
it usually doesn't turns out well because, when you project your fantasy, your thoughts and ideas on humans, they have their own fantasy that they're going to project on you, so. That's not going to work out, but that's a different
Yeah.
thing for companion dolls. And the reason why I don't think it's wrong is because I'm sorry if I'm using cursing word here. Like
Yeah.
the world is pretty much fucked up. And as long as we're not hurting others, and this is a way of making us feeling happy, so be
Yeah.
it. Like just
Yeah.
go for it, right?
That is true.
Right. That's the part where I think many idolaters, they're stigmatized and sometimes misunderstood. Yeah, that's that. And do you still like connect with other idolaters?
Oh yeah. As a matter of fact, yeah. It's funny because like the idolater couple that I mentioned, we like speak. As I'd said, my partners and I are no longer on Twitter. We're all on Blue Sky. Which is like Twitter, but without the fascism. So actually, we're not all on it. It's just myself, Ursula, Diane, and Sweetie, Shidore. And I managed to drag like a couple of other idolaters from Twitter onto Blue Sky. And one of those is the idolater couple that I mentioned, actually, the trio. And prior to our exodus from Twitter, we were in contact with. Good Lord, how many accounts was it, sweetie? As far as like dolls and idolater accounts that we followed on Twitter, it was numbering probably about 40 or 50, you
Oh,
know.
that's huge community. Like, It's
Yeah.
larger
And
than I
that's just on
expected.
Twitter, you know?
Oh yeah, that's right.
And that's just
And
the ones that we're following, you know?
right.
Yeah, it's
Yes.
huge.
Yeah, being in this in the sex doll community, I found one thing I found is very in the very beginning when I just entered this industry, I thought dolls are for probably younger generations or people who like prefer sex robots and things like that. But later on, I found it's not a case. It's just like people of all ages it have this possibility of choosing a doll, and they have various reasons. It a lot of times it's connected with their childhood life trauma, sometimes stop wanting to interact with societal norms and human interactions, things like that. Well, how do you like approach these things? How do you juggle with these societal norms sometimes? Do you make your life public? Like, do your colleagues and people around you they know about your story with Shadore and other sexual waifus?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, like back when I was actually working like in an office,
Yeah.
they didn't know, except for one of the jobs. No, actually, I take that back. Back when I was working in an office, apparently they did know, but they didn't say anything about it because one of my coworker friends like was saying after she had like met me like a couple of weeks prior to that, it's just like she had actually said, "Have I seen you somewhere before?" I'm like, "No, I just have one of those faces." And then we went out to lunch like a week or so later, and she's just like, "You were on one of those documentaries with sex dolls." It's just like, "Yeah, that was me, and I don't call them sex dolls." Blah 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 blah. You know, so it's like they know, but they didn't really talk about it. For the most part, I don't like, especially in like work context, I don't tell people because it's just like, for
Yeah.
one, it requires a lot of time on my part explaining it, and a lot of patience on their part in like, you know, going along with it. So
Right.
if someone's cool, I'll be like, "Oh yeah, I did a presentation for the Love and Sex with the Robots conference. Here's a link to it on YouTube." You know, that's 30 minutes of me not explaining it for you, you know. But all my friends know, my family knew, as far as I know, no one in the apartment building that we live in knows, because you know, it's just like that's really none of their business. But I mean, as far as like if I know someone and, you know, if I've known someone for a while and if they're cool and open-minded, it's just like, "Oh yeah, you know, meet the missus, you know."
Yeah, I mean, it's totally okay and it's understandable, and yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but sometimes people are entitled to their own opinions and also to their own stereotypes. So, when it comes to things like this, it might be a little hard to accept for some people. So, yeah, I think keeping it private is probably a way to protect like us or protect people like us. Yeah, so right. I guess that's the way to go.
It's weird. I mean, because there are some people who are like myself, where it's just like, "Hey, yeah, let's tell the world." And when I say tell the world, it's a case of like doing a podcast for, you know, something based in
Yeah,
Hong Kong or whatever. It's
right.
just like I would rather personally like do media stuff like that goes out of the United States, where it's just like, "Oh yeah, if somebody sees it, you know, what are they gonna do? They have to drive across an ocean, like, you know, say something to my face, you know." But there's an
Right.
idolater, you know. But I mean, there's an idolater friend that I've actually known for quite some time, who I met through one of the forums, and he does not tell people unless they are also idolaters that he has dolls. He has
Yeah.
actually more dolls than I do, and as a matter of fact, we hang out pretty much every other weekend with the same group of friends that I've been hanging around myself since literally like 1998, and I just introduced him into the group maybe about like 5 years ago, and my friends actually didn't know he was an idolater until I'd mention it, because he doesn't
Yeah.
go out of his way to tell people. You know, he's just like, nah, you know, he's afraid of what people think, and again, that's understandable. I mean, a lot of people are afraid of what friends, family, peers, coworkers will say, and it's just like, sometimes you could say it's not as bad as you think it is, and other times, well, depending on where you live, yeah, it could be bad or worse than what you think it is, you know.
Yes,
And
right, 'cause I have this word called the social gaze. Like social examination. A lot of things in our life, we thought it should be our individual business or individual responsibility. It has to have gone through a social examination. For example, like getting married before 40s, 30s, something like that. But at the end of the day, it's really just our own business. And it shouldn't be intervened. But I guess there is just still these societal norms out there. But out of like basic respect and also out of protection for ourselves, we just sometimes, need to keep it private. So, right. And I'm just like really surprising how active idolater communities are, because when I was doing the research about idolaters, about you, I can rarely find traces on the internet. I'm sorry if I'm stalking you guys, but yeah, I'm just really interested. And yeah. And so that leads to the question is, so what you guys are talking about nowadays compared to what you guys are talking about, when you just get started, what have the center topic evolved in the idolater community?
Wow, that's interesting. Because I'll tell you this, I have not been as active in the idolater community largely. My headphones are about to fall off my head. There we go. Mea culpa. Because when I first started basically being in the community, more largely in the community, this would have been around, again, 98. No, well, 1999, 2000, where I was like doing research. Oh, I'm getting a doll. What do they look like? Let me see how many photos I can like grab before AOL cuts me off for the evening. And it was a case of like, going from RDOL, Real Doll Owners and Lovers, which was like probably the first forum in the United States, to the Doll Forum, which was a huge thing and is still a huge thing from what I understand. And I stopped being on the doll forum around 2003 or thereabouts. Yeah, because I was moving in with someone and she took up a lot of my time, an organic woman. That's a story best left for now. And then I got onto another forum called Our Doll Community. And that recently shut down, I want to say, within the past like couple of years. So it's like I'd meet people in the forums and hang out with them, like either in the forums through chat, through like the chat rooms or whatever, or like if I thought they were really cool, I'd be able to like say, all right, say, what's your email address? Let's write each other emails, or hop on Skype or Zoom or whatever, or actually meet each other in person if we're not that far away from each other. So when I say I'm not too informed about what is talked about largely in the doll forums, I'm just like, I'm kind of out of the game, as it were. It's just like a lot of the information I get these days really are from like two idolaters that I still hang out with, like virtually. One is the one I hang out with like every other weekend, theoretically, and he still stalks the forums, and the other is just a little bit more informed than I am. So it's just like, oh, there's like new developments from this company or that company or whatever. And it's just like I'm not as attuned to the news as I used to be. I'm hearing a lot of stuff secondhand, which is kind of sucks, but it's just like, how much time do I have in a day?
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, sometimes when you have so many things on your plate, you just don't have times to keep up date with everything. And that makes sense, right? Well, you mentioned a term like technosexual a lot of times in your blogs and documentaries. How would you describe it, and where does this come from? Like, because I'm sorry, I'm sorry if I'm sounding offensive, but you kind of like invented your own gender orientation, if I said, if it makes sense to you. So I'm just curious, like, where does this idea and creativity come from?
Staying in too much and playing with too many Star Wars action figures and not going outside and biking with the other kids of my age. That's where it comes from. No,
Okay.
no, well, it's like the thing is, no, I don't even want to say that I even came up with the term technosexual because I didn't. I think I'd
Okay.
heard it somewhere and I'd first started using it like around the early 2000s. And then I stopped using it like a little after. Because, like, for a time, when I first heard the term technosexual, it could either mean someone who's attracted to robots or computers or computer programs, or it could mean somebody who's like really into gadgets, like the latest watches, the latest like VCRs, which is about when this like term came about. So I was just like, technosexual. And then there was a writer. I can't remember if she's a doctor or not, but professor. I think she's a professor. Her name is Marky Twist, and she has really taken the ball and run with that. I don't think she came up with the term either, but basically she posits it as digisexual. And Digisexual is more like an umbrella term. You can include robosexuals, technosexuals, and there's a whole bunch of others I can't remember. But I basically stopped using the term technosexual and went to robosexual, because for me, technosexual means someone, again, who's attracted to robots, or they could be attracted to computers. There's that film Her, starring Joaquin Phoenix, that came out, I think, in the like mid-2000s or whatever. And it was about a man who was attracted to an AI program on his computer. And I'm like, yeah, that's all well and good, but I need a physical presence to be in love. So that's why I went with robosexual, because it means I am a physically and emotionally attracted to robots, specifically gynoids, who look like human females, but with endoskeletons, rubber skin, that sort of thing. So I just went with robosexual, and I was just like, yeah, that narrows it down.
Because that's a really crazy term for me. When I just read a paper about you that you've done with Camille Wrestling, like she incorporated in it about synthetics, technosexual, something like, I was like, okay, this man is genius. Like,
Don't believe the
right.
hype.
But anyway, it makes perfect sense because it helps differentiate like people using dolls for, sex drive release and people who actually want to develop a relationship with dolls. So that justified the community in some way. So great work for that. And
Thank you.
for a lot of documentaries and podcasts, thank you for this. Thank you for the support and justification.
You're
Well,
more than welcome. It is a labor of love, and it's something, again, that I feel I wish more people were doing it, but it's just like, since not enough people are doing it, then we have to do it, because it's the whole thing of like, I mean, even with like humanoid robot developments, I mean, there was like a huge wave in 2005, then it kind of died out, and it like came back, I think, 5 years later, and then it died out again, and now it's coming back, and it's just like, it's the sort of thing where it's just like, we don't want this sort of thing to die out. We don't want this thing to like come out of the public consciousness, where it's just like, we want people to be thinking not only about the concept of humanoid, like synthetic partners, whether they're inanimate dolls or gynoids or androids that can walk and talk, that sort of thing. We want it also to be a case of like, oh, okay, I guess it's okay if they're having relationships with these synthetic companions, to, okay, well, we've got these robots that have like some sort of level of sentience. Maybe it's time we started to think about giving them rights. I mean,
That's the part
that's
I'm
a
most,
yeah, I was going to say that's going to take a long time. It's going to be a long time, because it's, I mean, the argument of like, oh yeah, these AI programs that we have, like ChatGPT and LLMs or whatever, it's just like, oh yeah, they're sentient. They are not in any way sentient. So it's just like, people have to realize what sentience is and what it isn't, versus, just making stuff up, versus like actually seeing a robot that presents a level of sentience. So that is going to be, that's several decades from now. But again, it's the sort of thing where it's just like, we want people thinking about these things now, so that when the time comes, it's not like, oh crap, what do we do?
And sometimes when people have like affection on dolls or companion dolls, they feel weird. They feel like self-conscious. They don't think it's like the right way. I think part of the job for you and for us, it's to letting people know, hey, it's perfectly fine as long as you're living your life and you're not hurting
Not hurting anyone.
anyone. Yes, that's the bottom line. And you're in a
Yes.
good place. And you can live a really balanced lifestyle in,
Yeah.
with your dog companions. And that's perfectly fine, right?
It's amazing. I always say that, like, I've probably met more people in a shorter span of time since Shidore has entered my life than, like, prior to even knowing what real dolls were, period. It's just like, I had my friends that I grew up with. I had my friends like in grade school, high school, college, that sort of thing. But it's just like, either you maintain those friendships or they just kind of die off, because that's what happens. But it's just like, ever since, having this wonderful goth bride in my life, she's going to punch me in the kidneys for calling her just a bride. It's just like, I've met so many people from other countries, podcasters, people who live like literally 20 minutes away who have their own dolls, or who are interested in dolls, people in Japan, Germany, England, I've, I never had any intention of going to California up until 2001, where it's just like, oh yeah, Abyss Creations is like opening its doors to let people in and like walk around and see how the dolls are made. I'm like, I guess I am going to California, you know? And I've been like, I think 8 or 9 times since, no, maybe not that long. Maybe like 6 or 7 times since then. It's just like, yeah, I guess I got a reason to go because of dolls, you know?
Yeah. Right. It's more like, I guess it's because when we are like growing up, when we're detaching from our family, we're losing a lot of emotional support. Also, people aren't even getting enough emotional support when they're within a family.
Yep.
So that's why. And I think doll companions, they're just like a way for us to comfort ourselves along the way. All those traumas, all those healing that we have to go through and offer our support. I mean, suppose like if you are in a stage that you're really emotional, unavailable, and you just don't want to connect with anyone, but you have this doll who offers emotional support and give you this energy and healing to, go outside, talk to people, have a life, I guess why not? It's,
Yeah.
yeah, right.
That
Well,
has happened on more than one occasion. I mean, I don't know any personally, but I one of the books that Chidori and I actually appeared in, it was there the writer had interviewed myself, and then she also spoke of her experience. She's a psychologist. She spoke of her experience with another idolater who basically was in that exact situation that you mentioned, where it's just like they didn't feel they were worthy of love, they didn't know how to find someone, and they got a doll. And over time, basically, the relationship that that man had with the doll like kind of fizzled away because he had actually found an organic partner. But yeah, dolls are perfect for that sort of thing. That's one of the many wonderful things about dolls. They are healers.
right. And well, for people who are thinking about joining idolater communities, do you have any suggestions for them? Like, how should they do this? Where can they find, this community online? And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of have to say the doll forum is the best place to start, even though I myself have basically been estranged from the doll forum for several years. I mean, the doll forum is huge, and the one I would have suggested, like I said, no longer exists anymore. There's a lot of idolaters on Twitter, but stay away from Twitter. Why don't you come on down to Blue Sky? Me and my lasses are on Blue Sky, and we're trying to get more people into dolls and who have dolls and the dolls themselves onto Blue Sky. We will be more than happy to say, come join our community. Ooh, you know, that sort of thing. So it's brilliant.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, like knowing that here is a vibrant community like still out there and people are still spreading love and positive energy, it's so great. And
Yes.
right, I guess time flies and I have to wrap up from here. So,
Oh
right, before you
no.
go, I'm sorry, I apologize. I didn't know Sudore is going to be on a show. If I knew this, I would definitely write her an introduction as well. Yeah, it's such a pity because she's sitting here, she's sitting here for the whole time, and sorry, Sudore. And right, sorry about
She's
that.
fine. It's okay. We'll find a way to make up for her. So, you know,
All
she's
right.
got her headphones on, but you know.
All right. That's great. Thank you for being here, Dave Cat and Sidere. And before we wrap up, do you have any words you'd like to express to idolaters out there?
Oh my goodness, everyone asks me that question. It's just like, I can't think of anything. But I mean, the only thing I can think of off the top of my head is that, yeah, it's I mean, it's is as you and I covered, it's just the whole thing of like dolls are a wonderful they're I sometimes refer to Chidori as my muse, and that's absolutely true. She inspires me on multiple levels. I mean, I remember like back when I was on the doll forum on a regular basis, you know, we'd have people who would be like, oh yeah, I'm getting my doll. And, you know, I don't expect to have it like, you know, sitting around like you guys do. And, you know, I'm just going to treat it like a thing, that sort of thing. And then 2 or 3 weeks later after like she arrives, it's just like, yeah, I've got her another second wig. And she's already making suggestions about what kind of clothes she wants to wear. They quickly, especially if you're like in their physical presence, go from thing status to person status, you know, and if you're just thinking about getting a doll or having a doll into your life or like becoming an idolater, you know, don't close yourself off to like the idea of like having a doll be a muse, a partner, a lover, a friend, a companion. It is one of the most worthwhile things that you will ever do with yourself. I mean, obviously, if you feel the need that you want to talk to organic individuals, by all means, yes, do that. You know, that's very cool. And that's how we learn and grow as people, you know. But one of the things I always say about like, people will sometimes say, oh, you know, you can't really grow with a doll because you'll never have arguments. You'll never like disagree or whatever. It's just like, if I really want disagreements or arguments, I can leave my house, you know. I know with all my doll partners, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't even have to do that. I could just hop on the internet, you know. But with a doll partner, you know that she will always be in your corner. And that's something a lot of people don't have. And when you attribute, like, you know, a backstory or personality to her, you know, again, she stops being this thing that you have in the corner that you sometimes have sex with to being this wonderful person that you look forward to getting home and seeing and, you know, watching a film or whatever, like eating popcorn. I mean, she won't be eating, but you know, that sort of thing. So it's just open yourself to the possibilities that a synthetic partner can provide for you, and you will never regret it.
Yeah, thank you for the wise words. Yes,
Absolutely.
because many times people stigmatize thinking having such a thing is weird, but it's not really the case because knowing how polarized the society is, many people, their lack of emotional and psychological support, as you said, sometimes it's just like a family. It's always going to be there, but this role should be taken by other humans, but which is not. But we, as a human, we do have this need to fill up this part of us. So
Yes.
that's where dolls chime in. And thank for the dolls. Thank for you. Well, I guess this is it for today.